greet you in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That last song, one of the last phrases, was talked about learning to sing amid the choirs. Loud alleluias to our King. You know, sitting up front here and hearing that sound come forward, it sounds just pretty good. And it's uplifting, it's encouraging, refreshing. But there's so much more to come yet, and I'm looking forward to that. Who can tell me, what is the first commandment with promise according to the New Testament? Anyone? Honor thy father and thy mother. I've entitled the message this morning, Honoring Our Parents. Start off with reading Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. There it just says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Sometimes when we refer to this subject, we look at verse 1, Children, obey your parents, and we look at the front bench and on down, younger than that. This morning's message I'd like to gear possibly more, it includes them, but maybe more youth on up in how we honor our parents. Colossians 3:20 has a similar verse. It says, Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Honoring our parents isn't something that is necessarily just up to a certain age then I can stop honoring. And it doesn't stop once your parents are no longer here. You are to honor your parents as long as there is life in you. This morning I enjoyed the Sunday school class I was in, and as we started with Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, a song that often goes sort of, I connect with that chapter, is Faith of Our Fathers. A faith that keeps being passed on, and I think that is part of honoring our parents, is to embracing the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. Exodus 20, verse 12. One of the Ten Commandments says, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It was a direct commandment in Old Testament times to honor parents, and there were severe consequences for those who did not honor their parents. In Leviticus 20, verse 9, it tells us that for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. So going against the parents' advice, going against their will, there were repercussions for that. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, several verses there, says, If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? We have quite a number of rebellious people in America today. And you know, if this would be lived out, why, there'd be a lot of stones being thrown. But Old Testament while it gives a clear command for children to honor the parents, and in Proverbs that idea is reinforced repeatedly. Just read sort of a medley of verses here that refer to that, and I won't nearly get all of them. Proverbs 1:8-9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Chapter 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Over in chapter 4, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And the verses could be continued about where it talks. My son, follow the instruction that your parents are giving to you. Some cultures have a lot more respect and honor towards their elders than the American culture does. And we commend those cultures for that. It's a blessing when we see respect being shown to elders. The main story I'd like to center the message around this morning is found in Jeremiah 35. The story of the Rechabites. I'll be reading the complete chapter, and then I'd like to look a bit at the history of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which was the one who gave the instructions to his descendants. This was a time the Babylonians were coming against Jerusalem, and the Rechabites had gone into Jerusalem for protection. And Jeremiah received instruction from the Lord to communicate some things with them. So Jeremiah chapter 35. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord. Verse 5. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadrezzar king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, come, and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. I'd like to look a little bit at the background of Jonadab. He lived back, he was associated with Jehu. I'd like to look at just a few scriptures in 2 Kings then that bring out some history of Jonadab. One source says, John of Jerusalem says he was a disciple of Elisha. Again, I don't say this is the way it is, but I found it interesting that one historian says he was a disciple of Elisha. And in 2 Kings 9, we have Elisha the prophet sending a servant, one of the children of the prophets, to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And I wondered, could it have been Jonadab? I don't know. Just a possibility, because Jonadab and Jehu knew each other. From a scripture that we'll read later. Another possibility is Rechab. The meaning of that word has to do with being a horseman, a rider, a charioteer. And we also know from scripture that Jehu was known for his driving abilities. In 2 Kings 9, after Jehu was anointed as king, he went to fight against Joram, and as he was approaching the city, the watchman on the wall saw this group coming, and Joram told him, you know, let's send someone out to see if they're coming in peace. And it happened twice, and the riders didn't come back, and then the watchman said, this last one we send, he came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. I think he was a horseman. He had an ability to control those horses at a high rate of speed in a way that a lot of people couldn't. He was noted for it, the way it sounds. So did he get his training with one of the Rechabites which Rechab has to do with being a charioteer or a horseman? I don't know, but just some possibilities. Over in 2 Kings chapter 10 now, this is after Jehu has killed Joram, and he has killed Ahaziah and a lot of his relatives, and now he's on his way to Samaria. In verse 15, and when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab. This is another word for the same man, Jonadab. He lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, It is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. And he said, Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. And it continues there. In the next portion, it talks out, Jehu made an effort to wipe out Baal worship out of Israel. And he proclaimed a solemn assembly for Baal. And he said, whoever of the Baal worshipers that doesn't come for this time of offering sacrifices to Baal will be put to death. And so all these Baal worshipers come. They enter into this place of worship. And then in verse 23, it says, and Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. They were pretty close together in this. Jehonadab knew what was up. They went into the house of Baal and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only. And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And they brake down the image of Baal and brake down the house of Baal and made it a draft house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. So here we see that Jehonadab was associated with Jehu in performing this work. Now the time of Jehu until the time of Jeremiah, when that was written, that we read earlier, is approximately 240 years. And so when Jehonadab made this commandment to his descendants, don't drink wine, don't plant fields, no vineyards, you're not supposed to do any sowing of seeds, they obeyed and kept that commandment for approximately 240 years. Why? Why did they listen to it? Was it outside of God's commands that they were allowed to build houses? No, it was within. Within God's parameters that they build houses in Israel. They plant vineyards. They plant the fields. And yet Jehonadab makes this requirement of his descendants. And for multiple generations, the commands are obeyed. And they're living like nomads. Another interesting part about the Rechabites in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55, it connects them with the family of the scribes. Now, the Rechabites, well, it talks about these families of the scribes. It says, these are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. And the Kenites are the descendants of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, known as Jethro or Reuel. From what Unger's Bible Dictionary says, the descendants, the Rechabites, were incorporated into Israel and became a part of the tribe of Levi, where they actually served in the temple, although they were not direct descendants. And therefore, in Jeremiah, when he pronounces that blessing on the Rechabites, it talks about, there shall not want to a man to stand me before the Lord, can very likely be implied, there's always going to be someone ministering before the Lord in the temple. And these descendants of Jehonadab clearly state, we have obeyed the voice of Jehonadab. You know, if the did Jonadab give these instructions? Now, quoting from Unger's Bible Dictionary, it says, "The Rechabite movement seems to have been the result of an attempt to stem the tide of luxury and license that threatened to sap the strength of the people and the state. A return to the simplicity of nomadic life was required of the Rechabites and was enforced from generation to generation." So did he have good reason to give these instructions? And I say, yes. If you look at the background, there was a lot of Baal worship going on. And Jehu wiped it out of Israel. But I think Jonadab also noticed that Jehu didn't follow through with everything. He didn't get rid of all idol worship. And I think he realized the danger of settling down and becoming too comfortable. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses gives warning about when things are going well with you. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 through 12, it says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I think these houses full, the vineyards and the olive trees, it was a blessing from the Lord. But Jonadab also realized there are dangers associated with these things. And he set up some perimeters that were within the greater perimeters that God had set up for them for the welfare of his descendants. The fascinating part is that these commandments were actually faithfully followed for all these generations. What if the third generation from Jonadab would have said, "You know, Grandpa Jonadab is dead. There's nothing wrong with building houses and planting crops. It's not against God's commands." And so they go ahead and they build houses and they plant crops. Would they have received the blessing that Jeremiah gave to them in Jeremiah 35? And I think the answer is pretty clear. No, we would not have this story of blessing to them. As we look at the New Testament, and as we think of honoring our parents, New Testament clearly brings out that our love for God needs to supersede our love for parents. In Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39, says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So the call to love Jesus supersedes our love for our parents. Now, God has set up different levels of authority. One of those that maybe the first few benches can relate to is the state allows 14-year-olds to get a learner's permit. Is every 14-year-old qualified to get a learner's permit? You know, some 12-year-olds might be, but a 14-year-old might not be. And I think just because the state says it is okay does not mean it's okay for every 14-year-old. And I think as parents, we can create some perimeters within the greater perimeter that the state has in place. The state says, yes, at 14 you can get your learner's permit. But under that framework, even if a 13-year-old is qualified and capable, it does not give me the right to allow that because it's not under the perimeter given by the state. However, if I see, you know, my 14-year-old, I think he's pretty young. He or she is pretty young yet. It's not needed. I think it's better to wait a little bit. I think that's a perimeter that I not only have the right to do, but if I see a need for it, I am responsible to tell them, wait. And that goes for different things. Our church allows quite a bit of technology. We have the internet and so forth. I think we as parents, again, not only have the right, but have the responsibility as we know our children and their tendencies. If we see that, you know, this is something that is not good for my 16-year-old, and we offer some guidelines within the greater framework that the church has set up, again, I say it's not just a right, but it is a responsibility of us as parents to set up these perimeters of safety to meet the individual needs of our children. And I think that is what Jonadab, the son of Rechab, was doing. Under this greater perimeter of what God had set up, he saw, this is what is best for my descendants. I want them, I am doing this for their betterment and for their good. And God bless that. A question I have. Can we honor godly parents and go against their directives when those directives are within God's boundaries? I'm not sure how you respond to that, but I think it's pretty difficult. We miss blessings when we fail to honor our parents. I'm going to give a personal experience of someone from the congregation here. Laverne recently told me when he was a young man, his two older brothers had gone into service. Harold Dean had gone to Fellowship Haven in D.C. I forget where Glenn had gone. And Laverne assumed that he would go to service as well. And Sunny Haven was sort of the place where he wanted to go. And I think Paul Yoder was administrator there at the time and had contact, encouraged him to attend. And Laverne said he really wanted to go, but he did not get his father's blessing to go. Irvin had said, I want you to stay at home. I want you to help with the business here. And Laverne honored his father in staying. Now, he did receive Irvin's blessing to give one day a week to local ministries. I think prison was one of them, and I'm not sure what all. And I'm not sure how Laverne now, looking back, how he perceives the blessing of honoring his parent. But I say we as a community are richer for Laverne honoring his father in that situation where he honored his father's wishes. And he has been a tremendous example of servanthood to the community. My wife, when she was a young lady, she was looking at several options of going into VS. I'm not sure how many options there were offhand. One of the options was teaching school at Whiteville. And that one was pretty much down at the bottom of the list. She wasn't even giving it much consideration. And Ollie mentioned, well, why aren't you considering it? And she was a bit taken aback. Well, it just wasn't under her radar to go to Whiteville to teach school. And Ollie gave a few reasons why he thinks it might be a good option. He feels it's a church that is stable. There are good connections, direct flights from Memphis to Wichita. And I'm not sure what all the reasons were, but he gave some good practical reasons why it might be something Karen should consider. And so Karen considered and started becoming excited and enthused about going to teach school in Whiteville. And she ended up going and teaching for 9 years. And I also am a recipient of that blessing of her honoring her father in that way. I didn't teach with her, I replaced her, but in that exchange is where we got to know each other. And she is my wife today, and I'm grateful for it. But honoring our parents, I think there are blessings connected to that that we often overlook. And I think honoring our parents is a pretty basic expression of our worship to God. By failing to honor our parents, we disobey God. Another way of honoring our parents is by caring for our aging parents. In Mark 7, verses 9 through 13, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, and he says, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." So Jesus is saying, it is important to honor mom and dad. Here it talks about Corban. Again, quoting from Unger's Bible Dictionary, it says, "Corban is a name common to any sacred gift. The term in general use to denote sacrifice, its equivalent being holy gifts. All things or persons consecrated for religious purposes became Corban and fell to the sanctuary. The Pharisees taught that if a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is Corban or devoted, he thereby consecrated all to God and was relieved from using it for his parents. This Jesus declared to be contradictory to the command of the command that taught children to honor their parents." And I think today, possibly an equivalent would be if we would say, you know, I pay Social Security tax. That is money that is going in so my parents can be supported by government in a nursing home. That is wrong thinking. God wants us to honor our parents and by caring for them if need be. In 1 Timothy 5, it gives some strong language to those who don't care for their aging parents. It talks about the widow specifically in the first part of that reading, but it goes on to include more. In 1 Timothy 5, maybe I'll just read verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever." And this is in the context where it's specifically referring to caring for the aged. We need to care for them. Quite a number of you here in this congregation are involved with caring for parents. And I would just say, God bless you in that. That is an honorable and noble work to be involved with in caring for our elderly. Sometimes situations are so that the load gets heavy for the immediate family. And I think we as a church do well to be there to give assistance when needed to help care for our aging people. Belonging to the body of Christ should be much more secure than any social program offered by our government. Now, in saying that, I am not critical of our government in starting some of these things. And I would say some of them have been started specifically because churches have not done their job. Let's be careful how we view these things. I think nursing homes for the elderly should be a last resort for us. There may be times to utilize them, proper times, But I think as a church, let's do what we can to prevent our people from going there as residents. Let's care for each other. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, just a few closing remarks yet, says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And Ephesians 6, 3 talks about that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honoring our parents is not an automatic ticket to reaching an old age, to get to 80, 90, or 100 years of age. I think what these verses are saying, that thou mayest live long on the earth, I think honoring our parents is a means of preserving us as a people. It is to preserve us from acculturation to a sinful society. It is also a factor that is to help preserve us as a people of God. When you stop honoring your parents, I think you're on your way, you're going away from God. Honoring our parents is such a, I think, as I said earlier, a pretty basic expression of our worship to God. And I think when people who grow up without godly parents, as I said, the call to love Jesus supersedes our love for our parents. But there are ways of honoring our parents and loving Jesus with all our heart, even when our parents are ungodly and not followers of God. In closing, just Ephesians 6:2 again says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, this morning, we realize that parents are a gift from you. It's not something we deserve, but it's the way that you have set it up, and we thank you for the gift of it. And Lord, if there are those here who don't have parents or maybe didn't have a good home life, I pray that you would help them to know how to apply these scriptures in honoring and respecting, and that you would give them grace and strength to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the instructions you give us in scripture, and help us to know just how to honor our parents in practical ways, whether they are living or not. In Jesus' name we pray.